Hey, what's going on, my friends? It's Dave Sharp. Welcome to Wake Up Legendary, and happy Monday, my friends. We have yet another amazing guest this morning. For those of you who are new here to the show, all of these interviews that we do are just real raw and unscripted, unplanned with actual customers here of Legendary Marketers. So we never know what we're going to hear. We never know what we're going to talk about because it's unscripted and unplanned. But the goal is to try to give you a well-rounded perspective about what you can expect, what a typical experience is going to be here with our education, with getting started, with launching, with everyday, normal, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Listen, learn, put your seatbelt on, get ready for an amazing ride if you decide to take action. Because this, based on the nearly 1,000 interviews that I've done, can be an experience and a process where you can build your confidence, where you can follow through with something that you may have planned and had the goal to do for a long time. And if you work hard and if you apply what you learned, you may be able to make some money, achieve some goals, supplement your income. These are all possibilities if you follow through and if you follow in the footsteps of the guidance and the suggestions in the experience of the people on this show. Remember that everybody has their own experience. Everybody has their own achievements. Most people's goals are different, and your experience is going to be totally your experience. It's not going to be what somebody else does. You may have a better experience, a worse experience. You may have a similar experience. But the most important thing is that you have an experience. If you want to do this, you actually get started, and if it resonates, of course, and see what you can do. See what you can accomplish, because you may just surprise yourself. With that being said, let's welcome our guest this morning, all the way from Pennsylvania, coming in here to you in meeting and connecting up here with me in Florida. Remember, www. What does that stand for, my friends? World Wide Web. We're able to connect with people all over the world, and that's one of my favorite things to do. Chris, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Great to have you. Great to meet you. Am I correct in that you're calling in from Pennsylvania?
I am. Yep. I'm in Northeast Pennsylvania, the Northeast corner where Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey all meet.
Nice. Nice. Love it. My mom is from New York State, and I used to go up there every summer to visit my aunt. We would drive down to Erie and go to the outlet malls there in Pennsylvania and do a little bargain shopping for brand names. Wonderful to have you on. You're a full-time kindergarten teacher. Is that right?
I am. Yep. Full-time kindergarten teacher. Wow. Playing a little hooky this morning.
Well, thank you. Wow. You
know, and my whole family lives in Florida. My daughter's just recently moved to Tampa.
Okay. I'm in St. Petersburg, right about 30 minutes from Tampa.
Yep.
So awesome.
So that's my goal, to get there.
Yeah. That's a great goal to be able to move down and be closer to them here and live.
My parents are there. My kids are there. Yep. So.
Wow. You're the last one.
Yep.
Okay.
So I'm working on it.
All right. Well, that's good to know. So tell us, I guess you've just let us know a little bit of why you wanted to start an online business. Elaborate on that for us. Tell us, is this been something you've wanted to do? And then tell us about your experience with Legendary so far.
Okay. So I graduated from college, got a job in the corporate world. I worked in the corporate world for about 15 years in Manhattan, in the garment center, doing the grind every day. It was long hours. And, you always thought like the harder you work and the more hours you put in, the more money you make. And, you just like the days just turn into weeks, into years, and crazy. So then when I had my kids, I was like so into the corporate, climbing the corporate ladder, never pictured myself being a stay-at-home mom, but the hours were so long and the time away from home, there was a lot of travel involved. And when my first daughter was born, I was miserable. I didn't want to go back to work. So my husband, we lived in New York and, you know, it was expensive to live there and we were both making good living. So he was like, we have to sell our house. We can't stay here. But, you know, so he's like, we'll figure out a plan and, you know, whatever. So I stayed in my job for another year. We figured everything out. We moved to Pennsylvania. Then I had my second daughter. So I stayed home for 10 years, which was great. And it was a lot of ups and downs. Like then it was, you know, we were really feeling the loss of my income. I did a lot of little things along the way, MLMs, different kinds of little side businesses, little bits and, you know, here and there, nothing was ever like hugely successful or anything. Then as my kids got older and got into school, I had a degree. I was helping in the schools all the time. So then I decided, I was like, oh, I'll go back and get my teaching degree. Because where we live in Pennsylvania, it's not in the middle of nowhere. It's like a beautiful area, but like you have to drive places for a good job. So, you know, I'm like, where am I going to work around here? So then I decided I went back to school again, got my teaching certification, got a job. Then went and got my master's and then just kept getting, you know, like the more classes you get, the more money you make. And it was just like this never ending cycle. Then when COVID happened, you know, everything is expensive, the cost of living. So my husband and I together make like a good living, pay our bills, but there was just never a lot left over. It was just my family lives in Florida. So I went there often and we would just like stress, like, oh, now we got to fill our oil tank. Now, you know, the car needs brakes and tires, or it just was like, we just felt like we were never getting ahead. And since I stayed home, I've only been teaching for 10 years. So I won't have a huge retirement. So that stressed me, like, are we really going to have enough money in retirement? And visiting my parents all the time in Florida, the amount of older people that go to work every day at Publix, at Lowe's, at Home Depot. Some want to go just because they want to get out of the house and need a purpose, but some really need that extra money every single week because, you know, they're like, we're living on a fixed income. It's scary. It's not enough when the price of everything is going up. And I said to my husband, I'm like, I cannot do that. Like, I rather hustle now. And then when you retire, like it was just never enough. So actually during COVID, when we were remote for school, I was like, oh, I'm going to get my real estate license. That was something I always wanted to do. So I did that, took the class online, got my real estate license. I got in to that at a great time. The market was great and stuff, but it was hard work. So hats off to anybody who does that. So, you know, I was working a million hours and then showing houses all day and, you know, doing contracts at night, which it was very rewarding, but I was missing everything. I was never home. I was working 7 days a week. Then when I went back to school, it was a little tricky. Like the office that I worked in was amazing. And I partnered with people there so they would help me when I was at school. But it was just like, you know, I'm in school and then people want to see houses after work. And I'm, you know, I teach kindergarten. So I'm like, I have to go home and change. I might have green paint on me, snot, Play-Doh, who knows? So it was a lot. And then I just, after a while, I'm like, this is not living. Like it was 7 days a week, day and night. So I didn't want to do it. So, you know, I was scrolling online and I was not a big online person. I only had Facebook during COVID. A lot of people on my kindergarten team got TikTok and would share like funny videos. So then I downloaded TikTok. So I was just scrolling and then I started coming across the videos and I was like, wow, this sounds really interesting. And just kept seeing them more and more. You know, was a little skeptical, like it's online. Could this be real? But I just kept like seeing them and, you know, the repetitiveness. And Kelly Roberts is the first one that I saw. And it was just everything you learn, like goes back to like, I kept following her because she was so repetitive. Like I felt like I could tell her story. I just kept seeing it. I could relate to her. So then, you know, I'm like, it's $7. What do I have to lose? So I decided to do it. So I did it in October of 2022 and went through the training quick. Absolutely love the training. Like on day one, I'm like, this is amazing. It was motivating. The education was amazing. And I really didn't know exactly what I was getting myself into at the beginning. Like I was like, wow, this is like, you know, setting up your own business. But I was like so excited about it and just thought it's totally doable. I was sold on it. So that's kind of how I started.
That's awesome. And Kelly Roberts, she actually was just on. I saw her just a moment ago saying she was so happy to see you and so proud of you, which I love to see that support. She's a teacher, by the way, for those of you who you know, wonder what the kind of connection is there with Chris and Kelly. Kelly Roberts, there she is. I'm so excited for you and proud of you, Chris. So, Kelly actually did this as a teacher, and, you know, her whole beginnings were actually, I believe she was going to show her students that this didn't work, and then it did end up working. And, you know, now she's kind of all in, full throttle, you know, full-time online marketer, went from fully transitioned from teacher to full-time mom, you know, wife, stay-at-home, online digital marketer. And she's just incredible in terms of her story and her ability to be able to, you know, she's leveraged her skills of teaching, and now she's teaching in a different form. How have your previous skills as a teacher or current skills, I mean, do you see how they're useful, and are you able to transfer them over here and package them? Now, obviously, getting on video is a different thing. We can address that. But are you finding there to be some similarities here once you get over some of the limiting beliefs of getting on video and so forth, that, hey, I actually can use some of these skills that I have here?
No, absolutely. It's so funny because at the beginning, it's like, you know, a little overwhelming. But yeah, you know, I'm thinking like I do this in the classroom every single day. And like the biggest part of our job is like observing kids. Are they learning? Assessments. So teach a lesson and then you go back and reflect and look at it. Did they, you know, did I get the outcome that I wanted? Are they learning? If they did, okay, great. We can go to the next stop. If they, the next part. If they didn't, what do I need to do to fix it? So like our teaching is all based on like data-driven instruction. You know, you look at your data and that drives your instruction. And this kind of was the same way. Like I go back and like, you know, make a plan, like make sure I really plan everything out on what I'm going to do and how I'm going to approach it for the week. And then really look at the analytics and look at my data. Like these videos did great. Why did they do good? And, you know, did they get great views? It's not just about the views. They got great views, or the engagement was great. The comments, the likes, the shares. On all my platforms, you know, so I'll be, it did good on Facebook, but not on TikTok, or it did good on this. And, you know, just like really looking into that, like, what did they like, you know, where did the comments come from? Where did the interest come from? So that's definitely helps me with that.
Yeah. And you just actually described online marketing to a T, which is test something, go back, look at your data, look at how it worked, analyze it a bit. Did that test something new? And at the beginning, you want to test as many different approaches as possible. And you always want to do that. You always want to continue testing because something may work better. Something may work better now as opposed to last year. There may be a different style, or there may be a different format or delivery, right? Because everybody's kind of used to seeing that particular style of video. So are you able to wrap your head around that testing and kind of that creative side of marketing, or have you found that to be a struggle for you because you kind of tend to be more of a perfectionist?
Well, definitely tend to be more of a perfectionist, but I'm in Kelly's mentor group, M's mentor group, and Sean and Gwen. And for anybody that's not in any mentor groups, I highly suggest you do. They are so helpful because just like in education, you're always learning and growing. And it's the same for this. You know, I think at the beginning, you're like, you want to master it. So you're like, okay, this is my plan and I'm going to do this content. And you kind of wind up doing the same thing, but it is so different than it was last year. Things have changed so dramatically. And like, you know, I feel like when I started, there was so much more affiliate marketing. Now there's more of a, you know, thing on digital marketing, and you just have to keep like growing and evolving and learning and trying new things. You have to be able to, you know, take that step and learn how to do everything and learn how to pivot when something's not working. And, you know, even just the analytics, I look at the videos that did good and try to continue to like, you know, reinvent them in a different way, but also the videos that didn't perform well, look at those. Why didn't they perform well? What do they have in common, you know, and steer away from that and pivot. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's and so talk to us a little bit about the mindset that it's taken to as an entrepreneur versus that of an employee? What does that mean to you? And how has this or is this different than your job where, again, you're an employee, you're not particularly in charge?
Right.
What's the difference in the mindset that you have?
It's so amazing because I love my teaching job. It's very rewarding, but it's, you know, there's no secret. Education's getting harder and harder. And it's like, they just constantly tell you what to do. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to do that. There's all these like unrealistic expectations. And this, you can really be creative and do what you want. Like sometimes there's things I don't agree with in education. I'm like, I don't agree we should be doing this, but I have to do it because I'll lose my job. They're telling me I have to do it. You have to do it. It's in the curriculum. Like this, you can do, you know, you can be your own person. You can be unique. You can do what you have to do to relate to other people, help other people, you know, and just, you have to, there's so many like podcasts I listen to and different things that like helps you get your mind in the right place. You have to believe in yourself. You have to go into it and just like be a leader and take that leadership role. Like it's your business. You're the CEO of your company. You have to take action or you won't get anywhere. And even at the beginning, one thing that I was struggling with is like, it can be, information overload. It's like that analysis paralysis is a real thing. I'd be like listening to this and listening to that and going to this training and listening to this and have this bunch of notes and not doing anything with it. And then, you know, what good are they doing me? So like it just taught me how to like really zero in on like, you know, pick your top three or four things that you really want to focus on and implement it. Like you have to take action. You have to implement it. You have to show up every single day, whether you want to or not, which, you know, working full time is a little tricky. So like the planning part of it is so, you know, is so important. And there's so many different things out there. Like you follow people, you get inspiration from different videos, but there's also people that I follow that are, you know, content creators or just like teach you about like work productivity. So many different things that, like, that's what I really struggled with at the beginning was working full time. So I took this one like online productivity workshop that really taught me how to like make a schedule. Like they say, you know, if you want to work out, you have to put that in your schedule. So like I have a schedule every single morning when I get up and get ready. I sit for like 15 or 20 minutes, put a timer on and just sit and answer comments, DMs, emails. Then at the end of the day, I do that stuff every single day. I do all my content pretty much on the weekends. But like one day a week, I'll sit and work in like my emails and just add to my campaign. Or do I want to set up broadcasts? Another day, I started a Facebook group a few months ago. Like I'll try to, you know, get stuff together for that. So where it can be really overwhelming, I just try to schedule one night a week. I do this one night a week. I do this and just try to be more on a schedule. So I know what I have to do so I can get those things done.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's this entrepreneurship really introduced me to a whole new way of viewing the world. And it was about self-growth, really. It was really about self-growth. Where can I grow? How can I be more organized? How can I manage my time? What are my weaknesses? I start things, but I don't follow through with them. Okay. Well, maybe the reason why is because I have shiny object syndrome and I need to just focus on one thing at a time, right? Because I'm starting things and then I'm you know, starting something new. Or maybe it's, like you said, belief in myself. Golly, maybe I realize I have low self-esteem. For me, my recovery and my entrepreneur career kind of went hand in hand. I realized, wait, in order for me to grow my self-esteem, there's some core things that need to be in place. I need to be sober, right? I need to have a spiritual life, right? I need to be paying attention to my spirit. I need to be paying attention to my mental health. Those need to be my priorities. Those actually need to be my priorities. If that foundation's not in place, then the entrepreneur stuff's not going to work. When that stuff is in place, now I've got a good solid foundation that I'm standing on. Now I can pursue my entrepreneur stuff and I can start to look at my time management. I can start to look at my organization. I think that's another thing that we have to, and this certainly may not apply to you, but I do see a lot of people who come into the entrepreneur or online kind of space wanting to look at entrepreneur stuff and you don't have that foundation set in place. Your life is in a crisis, or you're looking for some entrepreneur venture to solve all your problems, and it's not going to do that. You have to have a solid foundation in place. It sounds like you kind of already had that. You're now just looking for to not end up at Walmart in your retirement. And I understand that. What was it? One of the other big challenges that you had to overcome, just to help normalize this for some of our listeners, was it getting on video? Was it the technical stuff? Was there something else, being consistent, not comparing yourself to others? What was another challenge that you had to dial in and say, I need to address this, I need to overcome this, I can't ignore this if I want to succeed with this?
Right. So actually, it was all three of those, because I was very intimidated by the technology. Yep.
Love it.
100%. Absolutely. I was so intimidated by the technology part. I'm like, oh my gosh, can I do this? And the training was amazing, but you have to seek stuff outside. And then I go back to Kelly. She had amazing training. So I took the challenge in October 22. I did not post my first content until March of 2023. That's how scared I was. Do not make that mistake. Do not wait. You're never going to be ready. And I posted my first video by accident. But there's so much training out there. So the things that I was intimidated about, I would just show up every Wednesday. She had these live trainings on how to set up your funnel, I learned that in the challenge, but if I had a problem or a glitch so I would go on there and I would get all those things figured out. So I was very intimidated by that, but there's so much help out there. There's mentor groups, there's YouTubing stuff. There's the, training in the challenge. I've done, Ryan and Paula have been my go-tos, have helped me with so much of that stuff. So that was definitely a challenge, but then you can do it. And then, it's funny, like when I was in Florida, my family's been amazing, so supportive. And they'll like look at stuff and they're like, wow, this is pretty impressive. And then I'm like, you know what? It is pretty impressive. I'm pretty proud of myself that I did that, because I would have never thought I would be able to do that stuff, but you absolutely can do it. And there's the training to do it. I was terrified to go on video. Before I started this, I was only on Facebook. I barely posted on Facebook. I post my kid's high school graduation or a vacation here and there. I was never a big social media person. So the thought of that scared me to death. So, I got on TikTok, I got on Instagram, I set up all like under my business name. I didn't want anybody to know, see me, do anything. I thought nobody at school can find me. So, my family laughs at me because I don't like to cook and I'm a terrible cook and I'm complete ADHD in the kitchen. Like I'm on the phone and doing this and doing that. And oh, let me change the laundry. And then the smoke alarm goes off and I'm like, oh, dinner's ready. And so I was in the kitchen doing that. And I had a video in my dress from like January that I filmed and I kept changing it and tweaking it. And I'm going to do it in January. I'm going to start February 1st. All right, this month I'm going to do it. And I was in the kitchen cooking and I went to edit it and I hit post by accident. And I'm like, and I was like, you know what? I'm launching. And that is one of the things I'm most sorry about, is how long I waited, because it's so, I'm not going to say like I'm completely comfortable and love doing it, but it is so much easier. I don't think twice about doing it. I don't care what people think of my videos. I don't care if I look silly in my videos. And I've seen success, like it's worked. So, I'm like, people can make fun of me, but this is working for me. And but it's funny because at school, I didn't want anybody to know at school what was happening. And in November, my Facebook got hacked, my business Facebook page. So my personal profile was okay. But at my school, I'm the admin on my school page. So that whole page got lost. And it was funny because like, I didn't put it together because I'm not the most technical person. So I'm at school and like these comments are coming up weird on my Facebook page. And somebody went in and actually changed the name of my Facebook page. So I'm like, I'm trying to figure this out. And I'm at work and I'm like, what is going? They changed it to, there's a problem with your page. So I'm getting all these weird comments and I'm like, what is going on? So then it's lunchtime. I'm sitting eating lunch with my coworkers and somebody's like, wow, something weird is going on with our DDPS page and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh God, I think there's a connection. And nobody knows what I'm doing at work. And so then the tech guy was there. So I was like, Dylan, you got to help me and whatever. So we were trying to figure it out, but I was trying to tell him, these accounts. And then somehow he pulled up my business account and he's like, my business name is like sort of like my last name. And he's like, is this you? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, what is this? And I was like, oh, I have a little side hustle going on and whatever. And he was like, this is amazing. But he was like, I don't remember at the time. He's like, there's like 25,000 followers on it. Like, it was just so funny. But we got that all straightened out. But the content part was exciting, but nerve-wracking. But the funny thing is, as people started to find me, well, a teacher one time, one of my teacher friends reached out to me. At the beginning, I'm like, oh, am I reaching my target audience? Because my target audience started as teachers and empty nesters, you know, and at the beginning, I'm like, am I really reaching that? Am I reaching the right people? And then she called me one day and she's like, I came across your videos. And I was like, I am reaching my target audience. But it just got easier and easier with the content. You know, the more you do it, that's the only way to do it, is just keep doing it, be consistent. Just the more you do it, the easier it gets.
Yeah. And I love to hit on the point of, you are usually the last person to notice your growth. You know, I mean, it's like, we're so sometimes, and I don't disagree with kind of staying laying low at the beginning when you know, sure. Not particularly because we should really care what our friends and family think, although we do, and our coworkers, and that's fine. But we should more just lay low just because we don't need to explain ourselves and we don't need people's validation. And so often we seek that too much and it just is a huge distraction because nobody's ever going to really understand your vision. So why try to explain it to them? That, you know, they're just not, it's not their dream. It's not their vision. It's not their goal. However, if you do keep your head down in focus and you start to achieve some results, it'll probably feel like you're not getting anywhere. But like you just said, somebody found you and was like, damn, 25,000 followers. That's pretty, right? You will sometimes be the last person to notice your growth. And it's really nice when you start to build a following. Of course, when you start to have other people in your audience giving you positive feedback, buying things from you, opting into your list. Have you really, from that time when it was so hard to press post, are you still dealing with imposter syndrome even now to this day? Or do you feel yet like you've stepped into who you are or who you are presenting out there online you're in the online marketing niche, I believe.
Yes. Yep.
Have you owned that you have the knowledge? Have you owned yet? Do you fully believe that, or do you still feel like you're battling imposter syndrome and you're just going to keep, you know, posting and creating until you fully are owning, you know, the space that you're in? Does this make sense? My question.
Absolutely. And I think it's a work in progress.
Late to, if they're feeling imposter syndrome, it may linger for a long time. Is that the case for you?
Yeah, you know, a little bit yes and a little bit no, because I've learned so much from it and I've gained so much confidence. So now I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what my family thinks, which they have been supportive. I don't care what anybody at work thinks. Like, I feel good about it and I feel confident about it. And just the comments and the engagement you get, like, I've had some really great videos. Like, I had a few viral videos lately. And some of the comments are like, God, this is why I do it. You know, people that really share like their personal stories and like, I'm a teacher too, and I don't feel ready for retirement. And please help me. Show me the way. How are you doing this? I mean, people that are like, you know, I have cancer. I need, you know, I'm taking care of my grandkids, like so many different stories. And, or like, I'll post a motivational thing because it makes me happy that day. And then someone's like, thank you. I needed to hear that today. Or, you know, I'm kind of like targeting like the empty nesters too, because that's been a challenge for me. It's so hard. Your life revolves around your kids, your whole life. And then, you know, when my kids left, they're in Florida now and it is a huge adjustment. And it's all good. And like, I'm proud of them. That's what they're supposed to do, you know, fly on their own and be successful. And, you know, and now I have the time to do this. So that's also been like, that's another thing. Like, this has kind of filled that, I don't know, void of just like my time and, you know, what to do, and kind of given me a purpose again. But that was a huge adjustment. So there's a lot of people that connect with me online in that part, you know, that it's another part of your life. That's a big adjustment. And you got to kind of pivot and find your way and find your purpose again. But definitely I do get imposter syndrome sometimes because I'm somewhere in the middle. My business has been successful. I've seen amazing growth. I mean, at the beginning when I was posting, I'm like, I'm in my 50s, teach kindergarten, empty. Who cares about what I'm doing? I have almost 100,000 followers combined on my social media. Yeah. So everybody can relate to somebody. Like, your story is you are your biggest asset. Your story is your biggest asset, and people will relate to you. So, you know, when people say like, be authentic, be yourself, you truly have to do that. You know, at the beginning, I got caught up in like what everybody's doing, copying videos and whatever. And I still look for those videos for like inspiration and what's doing well, but like, you have to make it your own. And sometimes when I just post a random thing about, you know, teaching kindergarten or what, like so many people can relate to that, and it does well, you know? And I think the more you post and you see the success and you see your following grow and you see people engage with you that can relate to you, it does give you confidence because, you know, you always see those people that are bigger accounts and doing well. And you're like, wow, how do I get there? But I'm proud of how I've grown and the people that I've reached and the people that I've helped. And, you know, I think everybody has to do that. Everybody, you have to be proud of yourself. You have to give yourself credit because it's a work in progress every day.
It is. You got to give yourself credit. You got to get to a place to where you're your biggest cheerleader.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the other thing about entrepreneurship that has really been true for me is that, you know, a lot of times at your job, you've got your coworkers there and there's team building and, okay, we got a birthday cake for Chris. It's her birthday. Let's celebrate her. And, you know, you've got your boss there who it's his or her responsibility to keep you chugging along and keep your attitude positive and give you and even tell you what to do or what to say or give you your assignments every day. So you kind of report in and entrepreneurship, it's not like you got to be your biggest cheerleader.
Yep.
You gotta be the one, you gotta be the player on the field and the KRIS. Let's go out and kick some, you know, today. Right? Yep. I mean, and if you don't get out there and believe in what you're saying, why should others? You know, so they're in okay, so I'm brand new. Who's gonna listen to me? Well, I have to go back to my recovery experience. I got clean 15 years ago, and they immediately said, the way you're going to stay sober, Dave, is you're going to help somebody else. I said, well, I've only got 5 days. Well, find somebody with 1 day and help them because you're 5 steps ahead of them. You're 5 days ahead of them. And that may be hard to wrap your head around, but it's true. And a lot of times people get more out of somebody who's closer to them in their journey than somebody who's 10,000 steps down the road. People are looking for relatable people. So talk to us about how are you relating? You're building over here on TikTok and then you're building over here on Facebook. Talk to us a little bit about the difference in your approach on those platforms or how you feel those platforms are different as you've built audiences on both of them, why you've kind of chosen those to invest your time into. Talk to us a little bit about your platform preferences and approaches.
So it's funny, when I started, I really was focusing on Facebook because that's where I was. So I was thinking like, you know, people more in my age category were more on Facebook. I never had a TikTok or an Instagram. So I kind of started with that. So it's funny. So they were growing slowly. Like they started out growing slowly and every day was getting like a little bit better. But then I had a video go viral on TikTok and my TikTok took off. And really from that time, like I just pretty much had consistent growth on my TikTok. I cannot break the Instagram code. I just actually just set up a new Instagram account. And I actually just took an Instagram workshop and I'm really trying to focus on that because I think I have like 60,000 followers on TikTok, almost 30,000 on Facebook, and 322 or 340 or something on Instagram. I cannot crack the Instagram code. So that's my, I have to figure that out. And I also think there's a lot of mistakes that I was making on there. So I'm trying to, you know, learn how to get that more on track. But once in a while I post different things, but because I'm working full time and I don't really have the time, I pretty much use repurpose. So I create everything in TikTok and repurpose it to Instagram and to Facebook. So recently I disconnected my Instagram and I've been trying to just post on there. And like, you know, they say some of the platforms, like when you use their, you know, their features and their editing and show them that you're active in there. Yeah. So I'm trying to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So some of the platforms can tell if you're using a repurposing software and they want you to create original content on their platform. That's what she means, everybody, by that. So, you know, yeah, if you're not having growth on Instagram, something has to change. If it's growing on TikTok and Facebook, and it's like, what's the low hanging fruit? That would be an example of the low hanging fruit. Okay, let me try to take, if I can create on TikTok and repurpose to Facebook, I'll do that. And then let me just create original on Instagram. Even if that means that I download from TikTok, take the watermark off of it through something. What do you have a
watermark? I do. SaveTick or SnapTick. That's exactly what I'm doing.
SnapTick. Okay. So you remove the TikTok watermark and then you can re-upload that video directly onto Instagram versus using the third party software in the middle. That's just an example. Is it guaranteed to solve all your problems and create massive growth on Instagram? No. But it's a low-hanging fruit, easy way to try something new on a platform to see if that helps.
That's where all the mentorship groups have been so helpful because there's other people in there that have the same struggles or, you know, they're just such amazing communities that like truly want to help you and share information and everybody has the same mindset and, you know, kind of wants to go in the same place. And actually in Em's group, Em is the one that taught me how to do that with the save tick and, you know, do all that. But there's people that are having the same kind of struggles that you can learn from. So many of those mentor groups have helped me so much, you know, just like Sean and Gwen in their group, they do a lot of audits on Fridays. And I just posted in there recently, even though I didn't get my account audited yet, by listening to them audit other people's account, you have so much in common with other people. Like they can point out, oh, maybe this in your profile or maybe this or this video, or like there's so many commonalities that I'm like, oh, wow, I can go fix that. So while I'm waiting, I can go fix this in my profile. I can go fix this here. I can, you know, so I think it's just constantly, you just have to be learning and growing and willing to change and try things. It's a constant testing and what's working and what's not. And when it's not, you got to go look at it and try to change and, you know, try something else.
Yeah.
Not be afraid to do that.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. You've mentioned mentor groups a couple of times here on the show. You know, I wonder if you've noticed that, you know, we teach the core four ways to sell information online, right? It's affiliate marketing, selling somebody else's, or doing courses, coaching, or events. All of the groups, all the people that you have mentioned, all started their journey right here at Legendary Marketer. Right? They were brand new when they came in. They started with affiliate marketing. Now they're doing an element or they've added an element of courses or coaching to their business, right? They're doing what we've taught them. Have you ever considered doing a coaching or mentor group of your own?
I would love to. I feel like and again, this is where I maybe don't give myself enough credit. I have a Facebook group. So I really try to like provide value and just like tips and tricks, things that I've learned, like just the download with the watermark or different things that I learned. I try to post in there to help people and just constantly be like, what are your questions? What do you need help with? Where do you feel stuck? I would love to do that.
How have you been growing your email list?
Yes. My email list has been growing. That's been great. And I've also taken some webinars on that, like different, you know, watched Amy Porterfield or different people on how to grow your email list. And because, and this is another thing I've learned to do too, back up your email list, because that is like your greatest asset. You know, people say, what's going to happen if TikTok goes away, or, you know, so like those social media platforms, we don't own them. You own your email list. So, you know, I make sure I back up my email list every week, but I'm constantly working on my email list.
How many leads do you have on your email list that you're emailing?
10,000. Okay. I just hit, I think I have like 10,500 now.
I wonder what would happen if you started your own mentorship group and you started emailing your list with that offer. See, that's one of the you know, in our business blueprints, which you have, and I'm sure have gone through, and also you mentioned attending our hot seat calls and our support group calls as well. You know, I talk about, of course, in the blueprints, the fishing formula business plan, where, you know, you have your introductory offer, then you have your second helping, your third helping, additional offers that you promote in your email list. Well, that would be a great example of an additional offer that these other marketers are doing and monetizing. And it's wonderful that you give credit where credit's due. It's also a unique opportunity that I'd invite you to start to consider, because you are knowledgeable. You have done significant amount of training and implementation to be able to start to share your knowledge in a mentorship group or in some sort of a coaching capacity. And I would really invite you, with 10,000 people on your email list, and that's a great audience of people that you have their captive attention right there to start marketing to and building that additional stream of income for yourself.
Right. Thank you. No, I'm actually working on some digital products right now. One of them that I was doing is like how to grow your social media from the different things that I've learned that have really helped me. So I'm actually in the process of doing that right now. But I would love to do a mentor.
Well, look at that. Nancy says you are already a mentor, Chris. Susie said, I would love to have you as a mentor. Caitlin says, I join yours. Lisa says that ATM. I believe she's talking about your email list. Absolutely. Brittany says, I think she could create an amazing group. She has the teacher knowledge and personality for it. So, you know, this is just about us growing here together and again, challenging each other. And you've given us so much wonderful value this morning. I wanted to validate you, and I wanted to remind you of how hard you've worked and how deserving you are of people's attention and their money as well, in exchange for your knowledge. And I'm just thrilled to see you soaking up everything, but also growing and open to growing even more and pushing yourself. Because when I have you back on the show in a few months, I'm sure you're going to have all new achievements that you're going to have to share with us. And I can't wait to hear those. So that being said, I want you to enjoy the rest of your day, whatever you're going to be doing with it today. If you took the day off to attend this, I just want to say thank you. You said you were playing hooky. Maybe you're going to go in late. Either way, thank you so much for your time of coming on this morning to share your experience. Give us one last insight as we bring this in for a landing. What have you learned about Chris throughout this process?
I have just learned, like, you really can do anything you put your mind to. You have to believe in yourself. You have to give yourself credit. That's where I was struggle. Like, I never give myself enough credit. And then, you know, when you turn around and I'm like, wow, I did grow my email list. I do have a good social media following. I do know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the biggest thing, is just, you know, believe in yourself. You get so paralyzed at the beginning, afraid to take action, and you have to just do it. You just have to jump in and do it. And it gets easier every day. And you learn and grow so much more every day. You evolve every day. And, you know, just do it. And there are resources out there to help you when you feel stuck. Don't be afraid to say, oh, is this a stupid question? Or, you know, if you're in a group, post it, or on the Legendary page. There's just so much support. The support in Legendary is amazing. Jump on a hot seat call, or, you know, do the one-to-one. I mean, Ryan and Paula have helped me so much. Just all of that training has been amazing. And there's times I'll refer back to the blueprints, you know, if I'm stuck on something or I have a question, or, you know, there's resources out there, and you just have to use them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the whole.
And just give yourself credit. Like you say, be your biggest cheerleader. Like you have to be proud of yourself and celebrate the small accomplishments, which become big accomplishments. And
yeah, you hit the nail on the head right there at that. You got to use what you have, use what's there in terms of your resources, be resourceful, and then acknowledge yourself, celebrate yourself. And we are all celebrating you this morning. So I hope that you celebrate you half as much as all of our listeners are celebrating you, because you're just amazing, fantastic. I am so thrilled to have you as a part of our community here. And I can't wait to talk to you next and hear all about your journeys and your accomplishments. It looks great on you. You're wonderful to listen to. And thanks for sharing your story with us this morning, Chris.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Stay legendary, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, my friends, you can find and follow Chris over at Zambo Ventures. She's on TikTok, Zambo, Z-A-M-B-O Ventures. She's also over on Facebook. You can look her up, Zambo Ventures. Now, remember, she said she has 60,000 followers on TikTok and about 30,000 on Facebook. So if there's any imposter, and when we say imposter, we truly mean that, imposter accounts posing as her, make sure that you don't follow those. Make sure that you follow the correct account. I also want to announce that there's lots of legendary imposter accounts, and Dave Sharp and probably everybody else out there that you follow. This is one of the biggest problems on social media right now, is that there are the actual scam that's happening. That's the most prevalent out there on the internet right now, is people posing as people they are not. So be careful. Do not send money to people doing weird things. The majority of everybody inside of our community is not doing cryptocurrency. We're not going to be asking you to send crypto or buy crypto or any weird stuff like that. So be careful. Follow the right people and be smart. Okay. If you are smart, you can have a positive experience. If you are desperate, and if you respond to things that sound good, too good to be true, you will get taken advantage of. So please be smart. Please be careful. And please go follow Chris at Zambo Ventures. She was an amazing guest this morning, a fantastic way to start our week, my friends. So with that being said, we will be back here tomorrow for another episode. As always, if you want to get a text message reminder every time we go live right to your phone, you can text WUL for Wake Up Legendary. WUL, text that and put that right where you would normally put, like, hey, how you doing? Put that in the text area and text WUL to 813-296-8553. You want to take our challenge, enroll in our blueprints, get started, go to a mastermind, go to legendarymarketer.com/enroll, E-N-R-O-L-L, enroll, legendarymarketer.com/enroll. And with that, my friends, we are out of here. We will be back here tomorrow for another episode. In between now and then, be great, be legendary, apply, 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 be proud, be proud, be proud. Be resourceful, be resourceful, be resourceful, and get out of here. Have a great day. Peace.